Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And despite popular demand, we are back. It is Saturday morning, the day before Independence Day celebration, not the July 4th, as a lot of people just like to call it, Independence Day.
Yeah. When do they? Do you know when they celebrate July 4th in England?
July 4th? They probably don't, because they don't have anything to, well, at least not our independence. But
well, notice I said July 4th. Of course they celebrate it on the July 4th.
Oh, you got me.
It's just another day, but they celebrate it.
Yeah.
Actually, they probably have rallies and sort of, you know, things against 4th of July, because that's when we left. Actually, I heard the other day, or maybe it was even this morning, that we actually did it on the 2nd of July, but they didn't have the paperwork done until the 4th.
Oh, well, gee, the partiers would love that. They could have the pre-fourth celebration, the pre-signing celebration.
Well, I think, in fact, come to think of it, I think it was Jay Leno I saw it on. He said, so for those of you who started celebrating on the 2nd, that's legitimate.
Well, in my neighborhood, they've been celebrating it for the last 2 weeks.
Really? I know. Actually, it's interesting because my next-door neighbors, every night for the last week, have been setting off fireworks, the kind that go up in the air and explode and do all sorts of things. They just do like 3 or 4 of them a night, but they do them. Who knows what they're going to do on the 4th of July?
Yeah, I was thinking about this neighborhood here. I could either go to Austin Stadium in Eugene and pay to go and see the fireworks, or I could just stay home and sit on my front porch, which the neighbors usually put on a pretty good show anyways. Save me some money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, we can just sit on our front porch and watch the ones at the racetrack, which is where the big celebration is here. So we don't have to go. But are they doing it this year? A lot of cities, you know, because of the economy, are not having their celebrations and having their 4th of July. Do you know how much money that costs?
Oh, I bet. In fact, the economy has even hit our neighborhood. Our neighbors last year did not put on the show that they normally do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so sudden. You need to petition. Get them to get back on that.
Yeah, except the downside about making it public, you know, like fireworks they use, I've never really went up and looked, and somehow I just don't think that it's legal.
Ah, no big thing.
Now, the city would love it. It's a $100 fine for the first time, and, you know.
Yeah.
So, bang, $100, okay.
Well, you can't, none of the stuff that's being sold on the illegally is fun anymore. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember growing up as a kid having many, many hours of fun on the 4th of July holding this little sparkler.
Oh, yeah. Well, my kids were, well, not when I was a kid. I don't even remember what we did on the 4th of July when I was a kid, coming to think of it. I don't know if we did anything. But my kids were, Michael especially, that was his favorite holiday of the entire year was the 4th of July. And we lived in Tacoma. And Tacoma does a huge, huge fireworks thing down on the waterfront, and hundreds of thousands of people watch it. But the problem is not the fireworks. The problem is the fact that all of these people, the water is down on the water. There's a hill going up, and lots of people live there, and these people go trample yards and lawns and park in everybody's driveways and on people's yards. I mean, people are rotten.
Yeah,
they are. Just rotten. That's their biggest problem. They spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars enforcing the crowds and cleaning up and stuff like that.
Oh, I would get very upset as well if somebody parked their car on my dandelion garden.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you've worked hard collecting those dandelions.
Right, and I got a good crop this year.
Really?
Anyways, welcome to the show. This is Oregon Update. We do this every Saturday morning, despite...
Yes, and we get just as sidelined every Saturday morning, too.
But it's fun, and that's half the reason of doing it. You know, it's fun bring out some issues and have you join in the conversation and enjoy the fun and even change the topic matter if you want to. And, you know, there is actually a couple ways you can do that. Cliff, you want to let them in on that?
Well, one of the ways is by giving us a call, and that's the best way, I think. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number, and just give us a call and anything you want to talk about. Now, by the way, when you call, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to hear the program. But unless you push, what is it, a 1, I believe? Unless you push a 1,
yeah,
we won't know you're there and want to talk to us. So when you push a 1, then, so you can call and listen if you want to. But if you want to push the 1, then we'll call on you. We'll ask you if you want to talk to us and what you want to talk about. And we'll talk about anything. I mean, if you've listened to the show before, you'll notice that we do talk about anything.
Sometimes we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we actually stay on subject.
But when you do push the 1, though, a little hand comes up on my, because Blog Talk gives us this little control board thingy, and a little hand will come up on my board, and it'll give me the phone number you're calling from, and what will happen then is I'll go ahead and unmute the mic for your telephone and say, welcome to the show, area code so-and-so, and that's how you know it's you.
You might want to tell, we haven't mentioned it before for a while. We're not even in the same city. Robin is in Eugene. I'm in Cottage Grove, or she's in Springfield. Excuse me, I'm in Cottage Grove. We're like 15, 17 miles apart, so we don't even see each other. She's in control of it all. I have to meekly sit here.
I have the power.
Really? Anyway, did you have something in the news this morning?
Well, I was just going to mention, too, that we do have the chat room open if you'd like to join us there in the chat room. And if you have a show suggestion, idea, comment, or even a news item, send it to us at talk@krbnradio.com. We do answer our emails, and if you'd like, we could even read your email over the air.
Yeah, and you can do that at any time through the week. I went and looked the other day. There was nothing there, unfortunately. Come on, folks. Do something.
Yeah.
Even if it's wrong.
I know. We do try to be entertaining. But
I don't know about try. But it's hard not to be sometimes.
But I do have a little segment that I started about 2 shows ago called What the Heck Are They Thinking? So let me get to that one.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this one comes from Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, locally, I think, I don't know if Cottage Grove has this or not, but some cities, they have these garbage cans spread out through the city, you know, to try to reduce...
Garbage.
Yeah, you know, trash cans.
Oh, you mean like on Main Street and
yeah.
Stuff like that? Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, this guy from South Carolina, Charleston, his name's Gary Coleman. No, he's not the same one. he owns a photography studio on Upper King Street. And innocently enough, he noticed that his UPS driver was just down the street, so he ran over and greeted him, picked up his delivery, which happened to be an envelope. And when Gary was walking back to his office, he emptied the contents of the envelope and threw the envelope in the trash can.
Ooh.
Okay, that sounds all good and well and everything, except for one little minor detail. It's not legal.
What?
Let's see if I got a clip for that one. I do, but it don't work. Okay.
Okay,
let's try that one again.
14-47-G, unlawful to use city-maintained baskets.
That was a letter that he got from the city. As Gary explains, what happened
I walked down and talked to the driver. He gave me my package. I walked back, and as I was walking back, I emptied the contents of the envelope and dropped the envelope in the trash as I walked into the door. You know, I just didn't think anything about it. I didn't think that, wow, I can't do this. I didn't know that.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Why do they have them there?
Well, and that's the whole point.
I understand what they think. They think it's just something with your address on there that you probably brought all your trash down and put them in the city cans.
Well, actually, what they were complaining about, it is a city ordinance. He did get a letter where they insisted that he rectify the problem as soon as possible, which he said is kind of hard to do. They already emptied the trash. But they said that it was not a trash can. It was a refuge receptacle. And it was designed for people with, like if you have, say, a hamburger wrapper in your hand, instead of just throwing it on the street, you just put it in those. But they do not want businesses to start using it as a regular garbage can. So, but they, what they did is that they actually went out, they took a picture of the envelope sitting in the garbage can, filled out the complaint form, printed out the picture, stuck it in the mail, and mailed this all to them. It kind of felt like Alice's restaurant.
Yeah, really? You've got to be kidding. Well, that figures that's what a city would do. That's what a city would do, yeah. I mean, you know, just a little friendly reminder might be. Of course, you've got to figure they've got all these people that they hire. They've got to get them to do something for their money.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, maybe they're just, I don't know how big Charleston, South Carolina is, but maybe the guy.
Charleston, South Carolina is a big city.
Then they must really be getting desperate.
No kidding.
They, if you go online and do a search for it, you can actually see the copy of the letter that Coleman got. And all they said was just, you know, rectify the situation ASAP. They didn't threaten him with any monetary fines or anything. So it was just kind of more of a notice. But even still, it's like he only threw one letter away. One
yeah, that's kind of sad that he got caught. And probably there are a lot of people that were actually going out and dumping their trash in those cans and getting away with it. But he gets caught with just very innocently. That's the story of my life.
No, that's true. Yeah, I think that, and this doesn't really go to what the heck they think in the war, but it's just kind of an interesting article in the news. I guess Elena Kagan is going through, she's been elected to Supreme Court and going through confirmation hearings. And she made a comment regarding Christmas. And I got a couple audio clips on that. And what the news media has been basically promoting is her answer regarding Christmas and Jews. And her answer was funny. I mean, I'll give you that. But here's a question that was asked. I'll just go ahead and do this and take it from there, assuming that everything works again. Okay, here's the question, and this is from Senator Lindsey Graham.
Christmas Day bomber, where are you at on Christmas Day?
Okay, very simple question, because they were discussing about the Christmas Day bomber. And now keep in mind that Kagan, you know, is a lawyer. She has lots of legal background and answered the question as any lawyer would.
That is an undecided legal issue, which, I suppose I should ask exactly what you mean by that. I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States.
What? What does that have to do with Christmas?
Almost nothing. But then that's how lawyers do this. They very seldom actually say anything.
Well, yeah, when they do it, like, what the heck did she say?
Really?
Anyways, Graham's response to that was kind of interesting.
I just asked you where you're at on Christmas.
Now, watching the... I think
you're not going to play her answer?
I will play her answer.
Or was that somebody else's answer I heard?
No, that was Graham again clarifying the question. He says, you know, what are you talking about? You know, I just asked you where you were in Christmas.
Yep.
Well, if you watch the YouTube video, it does kind of set her back, and she finally responds with this.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably in a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
I'm sure that she's you know, receiving all kinds of hell because of that, but I think it's a great answer.
Well, what I thought was kind of interesting is that, I mean, of course, the talk shows were having a great time with this and news media as well. I mean, yeah, it's a great answer, and unless somebody throws out a racist answer or whatever, or religious.
Well, that's what I figured would happen. Yeah,
you know, the way normally that normally thing, the way things happen. I haven't heard that yet, but I haven't heard anybody really focus on the fact that she was asked a very simple question. And the answer she gave was...
That is an undecided legal issue.
How can where you are on Christmas be an undecided legal issue?
Yeah, well, that's because you make everything a legal issue, you know. Should I breathe tomorrow? Well, I don't know.
That's an undecided legal issue. I should consult my attorneys about that and...
Well, you know, you understand you can inhale, but you can't exhale. Inhaling is fine, although that probably would be illegal because you're using up oxygen things. But exhaling is you're putting out all kinds of stuff in the air that nobody can handle. So you can, well, maybe you shouldn't do either one.
Yeah, I don't know, because inhaling, you're actually consuming resources. Exhaling is actually contributing to greenhouse gases.
Yes, exactly.
There's other air that should be totally banned altogether, but
yeah.
I won't even sink that low. We do have some pride, folks.
Good. What is our actual topic for the day?
Actually, I don't really think we have one. It's just it is, believe it or not, folks, it is kind of hard sometimes. Well, I mean, not too much in Oregon. If you like to zoom in on the Oregon legislature, they're usually good for a good laugh. But to come up with a really interesting topic that hasn't been a topic to death over the media or just, done over and over again in shows.
Well, then I have something I want to talk about.
Oh, yes, you have.
This is, I saw a story on television about this, and the way they the way they presented it, of course, was to try to make everybody upset. And I took the lead, and I just got furious. But the bit is that McDonald's, okay, there's a group called CSPI, I think it is. CSPI decided to, and that's the Center for Science in the...
Public Interest.
Public Interest, yes. Anyway, I'm trying to read it here. Anyway, really upset because what they're saying is that McDonald's, of course, as you know, serves these Happy Meals. And the Happy Meals are just because they give your kids a toy. And they decided that absolutely should be illegal to give the kids a toy. They're using toys to lure children into McDonald's. It's unfair and a deceptive marketing practice. It's illegal under various state consumer protection laws. And they actually served McDonald's notice of an intent to sue, fulfilling a legal requirement of several states that might bring a lawsuit. So McDonald's, you know, the thing that I think is I'm really kind of proud of McDonald's. They're one of the few people that have literally made the Happy Meal household word almost. I mean, everybody knows about Happy Meals, and everybody knows about the
That's
toys.
Keep date.
And it's not the kids always that go in to get the damn toys either. I mean, and if you want to stop doing the toys to lure children into buying your product, then you're going to have to get rid of half of the products in the United States, because the simple fact is this has been going on, I know of, since 1893 when Cracker Jacks first put toys in their cereal. I mean, in their pop, well, whatever you want to call Cracker Jacks, it's horrible because it's honey-coated popcorn, so to speak, or caramel-coated popcorn, I guess. And, but I mean, everybody's done this. Rice Krispies, shredded wheat, everybody has done this. I mean, it's not. And you also destroy an entire industry because people sell or auction off these premiums, these, you know, toys, cereal premium toys or whatever premium toys, for big bucks, and they're a collectible. They're an important part of our society. Captain Crunch, Defective Crunch Squad, bunch of things. Disney does it. Cheerios does it. Everybody does it.
If they stop doing it, I mean, like, for example, if McDonald's stops doing the Happy Meal, I mean, I don't think the kids are going to be going, Mommy, I want to go to McDonald's because they have healthy food.
Yeah. Well, you know, what really upsets me is because then they started getting really off on McDonald's and how their food is so unhealthy and their food is so terrible and it's so malnutritious and everybody gets fat. And, of course, you know, McDonald's, of course, I've seen many, many, many times when they've been out on the streets lassoing people and pulling them into the road and forcing food down their throats. Yeah, right.
This is evil.
You know, the thing that gets to me is, I don't work at McDonald's. I've never worked at McDonald's. I don't even eat at McDonald's very much, to be honest with you, but I don't have anything against eating at McDonald's. But I remember years ago, having been in the radio business, when McDonald's was, and I mean back in the 60s, I'm talking about years ago, and I went in and saw the extent that they go to make their food look and taste good.
The same.
And none of that has to do with you know, adding horrible things to make it bad for your body. I mean, no, and plus the fact,
that's one of the attractions of McDonald's, is that because the company does, I saw a behind-the-scenes thing article one time, and the company does go through a lot of training and a lot of to make sure that no matter which McDonald's you go to, it's all going to be the same piece of carb. I mean, it's all going to be the same food. And to be honest, I do like the Big Mac, and I do like the fact that I know that I can swing in, get it quick. It'll be pretty much the same thing, no mystery meat,
right?
No mystery, and you know, it's good, quick on the go. You know, where there are some other places that under the same franchise, you don't know what you're getting. It may be good at one, maybe great at say in Eugene, and something totally different in some other state.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm looking at the article here now too, and the they're calling their practice predatory, like you said.
Yeah.
But you know, if you take it a step further, okay, yeah, we're using something to draw kids in. What's Halloween?
Well, interestingly enough, Halloween is becoming a holiday for selling lawn. What do you want to call it?
On
decorations, I guess. It's not toys, but that's what Halloween is becoming, one of the most money spending holidays there is. Candy, of course, is one thing, but the point is they're actually almost most of the people are stopping the trick or treating because that's become so dangerous in the past. But now they have big parties where it's all controlled and everybody can be happy about it. But they're spending more money doing it now than they did before, by a long ways.
Oh, yeah. Halloween's my favorite holiday. You know,
yeah.
I don't go as far as some of my neighbors do, but they actually put up the Halloween lights, the orange lights and the displays and stuff, and partly because we're poor. But yeah, I it's kind of a time to be something you're not, so to speak, or have a little fun, which for me, that's a bad
thing. Well, you know, what really upsets me is the thing that I used to do on Halloween, now they've decided is bad, and that's scare kids. I mean, we used to do the whole scary thing. I in the radio station, we used to always come up with a haunted house for Halloween that we'd run for a couple weeks with all kinds of horrible, scary things. We'd enlist some organization or group, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or something in the community to build the haunted house and work the haunted house. And then we'd just spend a couple weeks scaring people and collecting money and giving that to the group that helped. But nowadays, and I used to do it at home. I've always been into electronic things, and I'd hide a speaker outside, and I'd sit inside and watch in the dark. And when the kids would come up, then I'd make horrible noises on the speaker and scare them to death, and they'd all turn and run. And then I'd eat the candy later on. But
your candy.
Anyway.
He's actually a good guy, folks.
We actually still do that. We buy way more candy than we need, and it sits there all year long, and we munch on it just now, and then we'll go grab some. I think I have some out in the garage right now, as a matter of fact.
But when you buy candy, you just don't go to the store and buy a bag. You buy it by the gross.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we always, of course, you understand, make sure it's candy. We pay more for it because we have to make sure it's candy that we like.
Yeah.
I don't like all this hard candy stuff for, you know, this candy corn. I don't like that. It's cheap, but I don't like it. So we don't buy that. We buy, you know, Hershey bars and Three Musketeers and stuff that, you know, peanut butter cups and stuff like that that we really like. So the kids love it too.
But, you know, again, back to what you're saying is that part of the reason, well, it kind of, I think it's more for the parents and the kids really, is that, you know, we buy this little tiny order called the child's menu, and it comes with a little prize, and it gets the kids all nice excited, and they'll start eating, at least that's the theory, you know, for their 29-cent toy. But think about if this CSPI, let's say they win their case against McDonald's, how it will have on not only the food industry, but like you're saying earlier, you go to the supermarket, how many different cereals have some type of toy or gift or product?
A ton of them.
And what is it? And does it stop with just focusing towards the children? Like the article says, or at least the one I'm looking at, which is called the Washington Post article, it's not really focusing so much on the children. It's focusing more on the fat, convincing the kids to eat these unhealthy foods. But, you know, but on the side note of the kids, and speaking of McDonald's and the PC crowd, when's the last time you ever heard of Mayor McCheese or the Grimace or the Hamburglar, which probably sets a bad example. Hamburglar, waffle.
See, I'm sorry. I don't remember them at all. I mean, I'm sure that they were there, but I fast forward through the commercials.
I suppose you don't even remember the jingle.
No.
Two whole beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Oh, I do remember that. I never learned it, but I do remember it. Yeah. I remember everybody trying to learn it, though.
I learned it because the radio station was giving away, if you could call in and say that you'd get a free hamburger. I got about a dozen of them.
Oh, but you can't do that anymore because that's offering a free prize to get something food that's going to make you fat. So we obviously can't let them do that.
Yeah. Our society has gone downhill from there thanks to the Happy Meal.
Well, you know, it's our society is going downhill because of CSPI. Our society is going downhill, and this is my whole point of this whole thing is I am getting so tired of someone else deciding what's good for me or how I should treat me or somebody trying to protect me from myself. I'm really, really, really getting upset about that, and I think the whole United States or the whole world probably is probably getting into that position because, you know, there are so many organizations. Now, CSPI, I went on to read some of the things that they do, and some of the things that they do are kind of interesting. They do go to different restaurants, for example, and buy one of their meals and then test it and find out how many carbohydrates and how many calories and how many fats and all this stuff are in it. And it is true. You know, one of the things on the same token that I learned in the investigation of all of this guy bought a house. This gentleman bought an old house. Some of these houses are really neat, some of these old houses. And he looked, and he found this really neat old house, and he bought this old house, and he moved into the house only to find out he had just bought a brand new dinner set, you know, plates and saucers and cups and stuff like that. He just bought a whole new, really expensive set of that, and they wouldn't fit in the cupboards. His plates wouldn't fit in the cupboards. Because as little as 80 years ago, dinner plates were like 9 inches. Now they're 12.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that gives you an idea of what's going on about people eating more or eating more worse things, let's put it that way. But I don't believe that it should be CSPI or any of the rest of these people telling me what I can do. They can report on it, and they can show me, and they can make that available. And I am quite interested to know that you know, you go and buy a specific meal at Outback, and chances are it's going to give you your entire day's calories and 2 or 3 days' worth of fats. I mean, I understand that. But I do also understand I like it. It's good to eat. And I'm not going to spend my life eating cereal, or not cereal, but lettuce and with oil on it.
I know you love tofu.
I have never eaten tofu, and I mean, I have eaten tofu. I've tried it, and I never made a tofu a part of my diet. No, I tried it, didn't like it. I tried it several ways. Somebody I know was really into me getting to like tofu, and they kept telling me, "Oh, you won't even know it's not something or something, whatever it was supposed to be." Well, I knew. I'm sorry, I knew.
I can't believe it's not meat.
I can.
Anyways, if anybody else can't believe this show, why don't you give us a call, 646-721-9887. That is half the reason why we do this, is so people can call in. The other half is because we have nothing else to do on Saturday morning.
It's fun. It really is. It's fun. But I just, we've got to do something about these organizations, and we've got to get rid of these people, because that's what's going on. The EPA, all these people that are protecting us from ourselves, are doing a huge amount of damage in the world today. Alternative fuels, for example. That was my subject last week, was alternative fuels. And a lot of people cannot get into the alternative fuel business because of the fact that every place they want to do it, somebody's going to say, well, you can't do it here because there's a spotted owl or a ring-tailed toad or something that you've got to protect, and you can't do this. And it's even getting to the point, for example, in my business, in the radio business, that it becomes almost impossible to install a radio tower, to put up a radio tower, because of all of the different things that it does to the environment or whatever. You can't put things in places because they obscure people's view. I mean, we're just getting a little carried away. Not a little carried away. We're getting a whole lot carried away. So we need to come up with an organization, one organization that's in the general public that delves into political correctness, and we need to start doing a big advertising campaign against political correctness.
Well, whatever happened to Nader's group?
Well, Nader was doing okay. What did you think Nader was doing? I didn't like Nader because he was actually going out there finding things and telling you not to buy them. For example, we bought a Corvair, I guess it was, that General Motors put out, and that was supposed to be the world's worst car. We had it for several years and loved it.
Yeah.
And that's the first place I heard of Nader.
Corvair, just to kind of summarize, because I had a 63 Monza Spider Corvair. It's kind of like the old Volkswagen Bug. The engine's in the back. It was a flat six-cylinder, air-cooled, and in the front was this huge trunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nader was complaining that it would oversteer, and I never noticed that problem at all. The only thing I noticed that because it was an air-cooled engine, that if it was raining outside and you turned the defroster on and went through a water puddle, it would steam up the window.
Well, there were two things about the Corvair that we had a problem with. One was the carburetor. It wasn't a four-barrel carburetor or a three-barrel carburetor. It was actually three individual one-barrel carburetors. And they were really hard to keep controlled. It was hard to set them up. We had a mechanic who did a very good job of that. And the other problem that I had was that the clutch in this particular instance was actually a cable. There was a cable that went from the pedal to the clutch. And I was driving one day, and that cable broke. And I had to drive home without a clutch. I actually did it, believe it or not. But I had to drive home. And I'm home, by the way, in this case, was 450 miles. But I did it without a clutch.
And I'm a truck driver, so what is a clutch?
Everybody knows what a clutch is. But I think, I hope, maybe there are some people who don't, and if they don't, then good for you. But you can actually change gears in a clutch-driven car as long as you rev the engine up to the point that you mesh the gears. Right. And I learned how to do that years ago with a military. Well, I was in the military, and I did it with a deuce and a half. And I used the deuce and a half to learn how to do this because I didn't care if I destroyed it. The Army would pay for it. Good old Army. And but that's how I learned how to do that. Yeah. Anyway.
We done. Yeah, I wanted to make another more comment on the McDonald's thing. And that is, once something gets passed, like say, for example, if the CSPI is successful in their lawsuit, just like going back with putting requiring helmets for kids when you ride both motorcycles, or not motorcycles, but bicycles. I'm doing two things at once here. motorcycles, you know, it's or skateboards. You know, it starts out well requiring you to wear the helmet. Now you have to wear the knee pads. Now pretty soon you're going to have to wear the bubble wrap. The point is something that starts off with good intentions, where does it stop?
Well, see, that's the problem that we have. We allow people, a person with good intentions, to make a law. We are putting too many of these laws in effect without putting them to the public vote. And we've got to start doing that. We've got to start. There's two things. I get back to my two favorite things. One is all laws must expire in 5 years. All laws must expire in 5 years. Then the other one is everything should be put up to a vote. Everything should be put up to a vote. None of this crap about people being able to just pass this stuff off and you don't even know what's happening. That's got to stop because we're getting too many.
Well, and here's an excellent example. I didn't know this until I was doing my search for news articles for my blog, because this I don't think this hit the media, or at least not if it did. It didn't. It might have been those little 10-second sound bites. But I guess Oregon is going to be the first in a recycling program to recycle paint, which is going to cost consumers anywhere from 65 or 75 cents for anything under a gallon to $1.60 for any paint over a gallon at the retail level.
On the surface of that, to recycle paint, I think is a great idea, and I think that's a little too much to charge. That's the other problem we have is everything, when it becomes a government thing, is way too expensive. Why do we have to hire so many people to do things like this? I mean, $1.65 per gallon of paint is a lot of money. People buy a lot of paint.
Well, yeah. Now, paint, you know, you're looking about, what, $8 to $10, $15 for a gallon to begin with?
Yeah.
And forget how many. I think it was 5 gallons to paint my house, and I had to put 2 coats on it, so that's 10 gallons right there. So it was an extra $15. But where, again, I ask the question, where does it stop? I mean, like the Oregon bottle bill, for example, which is a good bill, at least in the beginning when it started, and it did help to give some people some extra money because they can go out and collect cans, and it helped keep some of the garbage off the streets. And believe me, I on my over-the-road trips as a driver, went into New Mexico, and I don't think they have a recycling thing. And just the ditches are just lined with broken bottles. I mean, it is just really bad. But then we extended the bottle bill to include plastic bottles, you know, plastic water bottles. Well, if you come right down to it, just about everything could be recycled. So is that going to be the theme that I'm going to go in and buy a carton of milk? Well, now I'm going to pay a deposit on the carton of milk or a recycling fee or something, or I go buy a cereal and it comes in a plastic bag, or there's a plastic bag in the cardboard box, so there's 2 fees right there. I mean, where does it stop?
Well, it's not ever going to stop. You realize, of course, we're not going to be able to use plastic bags anymore. We're not going to be able to use paper bags anymore. We're going to have some sort of, I don't know what, to carry our groceries home in. We can only buy, you know, one can of chili at a time, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, sorry to interrupt, but speaking of plastic bags, you know, when the stores went to plastic bags, we got cell phones somewhere. They were pushing, you know, because of the, to get away from paper bags because of the resources uses trees. But I think in reality that plastic bags were a lot cheaper to make. And so that became the more popular thing. Now they're saying because, recycling plastic, or the plastic bags themselves in the waste dump get caught in the machine. So now they're trying to get everybody to go back to either paper or bring your own bag in. So then you got to kind of remember, I know you really don't have to, but it seems like, all right, I'm going to Safeway. Where's my reusable Safeway bag? Oh, going to Albertsons. I've got the wrong bag. Sorry.
Yeah, really. That's true. But it is spawning another industry, though. That's what our government does. They love to spawn another private industry, because now I go into places and I see people selling bags.
Yeah. Well, this spawning the private industry is running us consumers broke.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly what is happening. But, you know, I hate to say this, and this is kind of doomsday information, but from what I'm hearing on the television and the radio and in the newspapers and whatever, we are about to come into a full-fledged depression. We are just right on the brink of and going to be in a full-fledged depression.
I'm already depressed.
Well, yeah, that too. Did you hear the thing the other day that about how much we spent $600 billion to come up with 600 million jobs? We spent $1 billion a job or something like that. You know, why didn't we just send everybody out $3,000 a month for the rest of their lives and have it over with? I mean, I'd rather do that. It'd actually be cheaper.
Yeah, it may be cheaper and accomplish just about as much, too. But
well, it's going to accomplish a whole lot more because people are going to spend it and then other people are going to get into jobs, you know, because they're spending, they have the money to spend, so people are going to start going back. It'll accomplish a hell of a lot more than what we've done. And they're asking for more now. We spent $1 trillion, of which we only spent $600 billion, by the way. I don't know where the other $400 billion went.
Administrative costs.
Probably, yeah. But, you know, we could have actually done better just sending everybody in the entire country, every job, you know, every person of age, $3,000 a month.
Well, that's the argument. I can't remember if it was Nancy Pelosi or who it was that made the argument regarding the unemployment benefits, which was recently cut off. They refused to renew the funding for. Is putting the money into the economy, especially in the down economy, and by not having the unemployment benefits available. Sure, there's been some people that have been on it for 99 weeks, which is what's really bothering them. But those unemployment payments stopping, you are going to have families on welfare. People are going to lose their houses. I mean, the spiral of that is just unbelievable. And I guess what gets my goat is that we give billions away overseas to help other nations. But when it comes down to helping ourselves, yeah, there's some people that are just sitting there collecting their unemployment check and going, why should I go to work? I get $300 a week for not doing anything. Or this job doesn't pay me as much as I can get for unemployment. Yeah, there are those. But there are those like myself. I put in a huge stack of applications and did what I could to finally get the job I have. It's not, I mean, it's not the best job in the world. It's not the worst job in the world, but you know what? It's keeping a roof over my head and food on the table, and I work for some great people.
That's the name of the game. That's the total name of the game. And as far as how much money you're making, that's all going to change anyway because we can't keep paying people the kind of money. Do you realize that there are still the unions are one of the biggest problems I see happening, and everybody can give me before. But the simple fact is what's happening with the unions, they've discovered that they can't pay people just because everybody gets upset about them paying big wages. To do is give big benefits and don't see what's going on. How many people, and it's not just teachers, for example, especially, they get a meager wage, then when they retire, they get the same amount of money they were making when they were working. And then I've heard of many instances where that same teacher who retires that retirement money every month and then goes back to work again for the same school, so you get your new paycheck and the retirement check every month. And so we're double dipping into this sort of thing, and there's an awful lot of this going along where because and the idea of being able to make the same amount of money when you retire as you did when you were working, that's completely out of the question. That's just, you can't do that. There's no private company that continue to do that. But any company that the government is involved with or unions are involved with, that's what's happening.
Well, I'll agree and disagree with you. I'll agree about the double dipping thing. You know, if you go back to work for the same organization, you're no longer retired. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, that's being a little technical. But as far as
it's not being technical, because a lot of people and there's even more people that are doing it and going back to work for a different company, so that they can't be traced.
Right, but you know, if somebody through their 401k or other investments, you can invest your 401k and actually make enough money or build up your account good enough that you can make what you are making while you are working. But that's completely different.
That's totally different because that's not a retirement. That's not your the company paying their retirement. A 401k has nothing to do with the, you know, John Doe service station paying you your retirement money.
That's right. And also in the private sector, how often does that happen? I remember a friend of mine who used to work for the utility company down in this area. I'm not going to say the name of the company. And he put in his 20 years in, and when he came up for retirement, they gave him the option of, you know, continue working or retire. And he says, why should I continue working? They're just going to pay me $100 less than what I'm making now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And some of them, they don't get, some of them get more. That's what happened to the PERS thing. They got more. And that's just insane. That's just absolutely insane.
Absolutely. Speaking of insane.
You know, speaking before you do that,
okay.
I want to say.
You can be insane.
Right. I want to say something about the power company. You mentioned the power company, and I want to say thank you to Pacific Power. This morning at 6:45, there was a huge explosion outside my bedroom window, and the power went off. And I called. I didn't call for an hour. At 7:45, I called Pacific Power, okay, and I'm going to name them, Pacific Power. I got through to a person, believe it or not, after waiting for a few machines to give up on me, I got through to a person. And the person was unbelievably pleasant. I mean, this man was fantastic. He was extremely efficient when I told him things. He wrote them down even before he started asking questions, so he had very few questions to ask. I had identified myself originally, and he had actually written it down. He did apologize because he couldn't type as fast as I was writing, so he had to ask a couple of questions. I mean, he couldn't type as fast as I was talking.
Right.
But they were out here and had it fixed within an hour. It was done an hour later. They had a truck out here. He went to the back here, and this was a poor little squirrel that fried himself on a transformer. But he had actually gone up there and fixed the transformer, put in a new fuse, and the power was back on, and he left. And this is all within an hour. And I am just totally impressed, and I would like to say thank you to Pacific Power, and I'm really impressed with how they handled the whole thing. Even on a holiday, mind you.
You know, you don't think it was a deliberate sabotage to keep us from going on the air today?
I was going to go on the air with the telephone anyway, so it wouldn't work.
But seriously, yeah, the people in the utility companies, I mean, when you think about what they go through, especially like when there's a storm or really bad weather conditions, how they get out there, and they do a wonderful job to try and, you know, make sure.
Well, here was this poor guy working on the holiday.
Yeah.
And he was not even... Well, I don't know. He may have been upset about it, but he didn't show it.
Yeah.
Of course, he may have been making $40 an hour to do it, too. I don't know.
If nothing else, he's got fried squirrel for dinner. So
yuck.
He couldn't pass that one up.
Poor squirrel. This is going to happen a lot because we have lots of squirrels.
Yeah. But I just want to throw out a little plug here that, first of all, I'd like to thinking of... thanking people. Last couple of weeks, if you miss our show live, of course, Blog Talk does offer an archive service. Our show gets archived usually within a couple minutes of doing the show, and so the archive is available. And the last couple of weeks, we've had record numbers of downloads on our archives, and thank you very much. And just wanted to point out that if the time slot, or for whatever reason, if you can't make it, feel free, you know, please feel free to join us in the archives. And you can comment on the article or on the show for each archive, or like I say, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Whether you're listening live or listening to us on the archives, we really appreciate it. It really means a lot to us that people are tuning in and at least giving us the opportunity to check us out.
Yes, and you know, interestingly enough, I may be stepping out of line, I don't know, but if you have a subject or somebody that you want to talk about or you want to bring up something and you can't do it from 9 until 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, you can talk to us. We are flexible. We could actually get on at a different time and then have that put in the archives for people to hear, too.
Absolutely. And on that same note, because... we're on the Pacific Coast here, so 10 a.m. is not too early for us. But on the East Coast, that's 7 a.m., and that's kind of early for a lot of people to get up and just to, you know, listen to us rant and rave over Happy Meals. But so, but if the time slot doesn't work out or you have a suggestion for a better time slot, your feedback is really, really important to us. And we'd like to take the show, and we got some plans for the future if things come together about taking this to the next level or doing other things with the show. And, you know, your feedback is very important and will help us determine what we're going to do with it.
And if you have lots and lots and lots of money, let us know, because we'd love to have buy a radio station and do this on the air.
That's right. We can annoy people worldwide. Well, we already annoy people worldwide. We'll annoy them personally.
Yeah, we'll find a place to you know, or if you own a radio station and would like us to annoy your audience, let us know.
Yeah.
could be fun.
We have no shame. Well, actually.
None. But and between the two of us, we've got a lot of experience in radio and broadcasting and electronics and computers and things like that. So we could be of real value to somebody. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, enough of this shameless plug. So one more I am going to give out, though, because we do have 8 minutes left in the show. You still have time. We got lines open, all five of them, 646-721-9887. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, even if it's nothing but more than just saying, hey, you guys suck.
Really? You can tell us that. but please understand, we get to be derogatory back. I mean, that's the name of the game. If you're going to yell at me, I get to yell back. So,
but it's all in fun. Don't worry, we won't take it personal. To a point. But,
well, of course I'll take it personal, but it's no big thing. I don't hold a grudge. So
it's true, he doesn't.
Except perhaps against, I'm starting to hold one against the federal government. That's another story.
Yeah, that is another story.
We do have to do something about our federal government getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, I'm going to have to say this because I voted for President Obama, but I do feel, and I one time said, well, you know, it's only 4 years. If he wants to get in and really screw up, he can't mess the place up too much. Well, unfortunately, I was wrong. And I cannot believe what he has done in a very short period of time. But you got to understand, it was because he had everything. He had the House, he had the Senate, and him. I mean, the Democrats and he controlled everything. We've got to get off of this two-party system somehow or another, because we're doing parties. We're not doing individuals. And unfortunately, we put individuals into office. We don't put parties into office. And we need to understand that you know, all of a sudden, we put a senator or a representative into office to represent our area. Well, that's not happening, because all he's doing is the party line. The party doesn't represent our area. They represent their own wants and needs and goods. We have got to get off of this party system and get back to individuals. If we want to put individuals in to actually represent us in the government, that's one thing. But we've got to do either we've got to put in more parties or get rid of parties, one or the other. This has got to be a change.
Well, I also believe that our representatives need to be financially brought down a notch or two. But, you know, their wages, they should be more in tune with the economy, I guess. And
No, I don't know if you understand this or not. The House of Representatives, do you know how much the representative gets paid?
How much?
$175,000 a year. Now, that's, to me, quite a bit of money, but that's not out of line. Do you know where the money goes? What they really get, though? They don't have to pay for the travel, and they have $1 million per Senate, per representative to spend on staff. $1 million. So we've got $400 million being spent right there just on staff. That's where we have to start cutting back. It doesn't need that big a staff for a person to work in that office. It just, if it's taking that much of a staff for a person to work in that office, then we're doing something wrong. That person is carrying too much responsibility or something. And there's no way that 400 people need $400 million to staff their offices.
Well, I agree. Well, see, one of the things, I got 2 points to make real quick, is would you agree that this recession, the catalyst that was kind of triggered it was the $5 a gallon fuel prices?
No.
you don't think that the extra cost where people are actually being had to make a choice between putting fuel in their tanks and eating because
no,
you don't think
the recession was done by the real estate problem. The recession was started by Wall Street and the banks and the real estate. It was a money problem. It was not a gasoline problem. The gasoline problem was done quite on purpose by OPEC to control how much they have to put out, and they wouldn't have allowed that to happen. OPEC has been very careful to control the price of gasoline so that it's just on the edge of what makes us mad. The $5 a gallon thing, I think, was a wake-up to show us what could happen.
Well, the $5 a gallon was just pushed up because of speculators on Wall Street, because they were making money off that. I know because I made money in my stocks with it. When the price per barrel got up extremely high, I think about $130 a barrel or something like that, which brought fuel up to the $5 a gallon per pump, or at the pump. Anyways, my point was I heard Obama on a news article the other day on the talking about that we got to raise the cost of fuel again to try and encourage people not to drive. And I'm just thinking about, I mean, for me, just going back and forth to work, I spend $200 a month. That's a huge bite out of the little that I make out of the job. If I could find something closer, great, I'd love it. The $200 more in my pocket, but not everybody has a choice of not driving, I guess is my point. And of course, the more you make, the higher the cost of fuel, the more everything else costs too. But I just think that they're out of touch. In fact, let me just play a really quick clip here. I just found this as I'm trying to find a different article, but get your opinion on it in the last 3 minutes of the show here. This is from Congressman Pete Stark. And hopefully, he won't come up with an ad first. This is a YouTube video. This is on June 26th.
The Minutemen want to have something to say. Who are you going to kill today?
Who are we going to kill today?
Yeah.
Well, I just would like to know. Well, actually, American citizens are being killed right now by the war that's going on.
That's right.
Okay, I want to know why the federal government is not doing anything or a lot more to seal our borders in this country so that we're a solvent country again.
Well, we can't get enough Minutemen armed. We'd like to get all the Minutemen armed so that they could stop shooting people here.
It's not
here.
Our job. We're just citizens. It's the United States government.
Some kind of
protection.
We'll try and get you some more arms. And
that, I think, is the other problem too. Is that type of attitude from our congressman.
Well, I agree, and that's why we've got to get off of the position of being Democrats and Republicans, because they are now better than we are, okay? We have to make them general citizens. They have to make them real people and put them in there to work for us. That's what they were elected to do. That was what we keep being told that they're being elected to do, but that's not exactly what's happening at all. They get in there and they all of a sudden decide they know better. When you start handing a guy $1 million for a staff, and you pay him $175,000 a year, and you allow him unlimited travel to go anywhere he wants to, and you pay for that. And if you've ever taken a look, and I there's a website you can take a look at, there are several of them, and it'll tell you where they went and where they stayed and who they took with them and how much it cost. We've got to do something about this federal government thing. We're running out of time. Heavens.
We are. I quit.
That might be next week's topic.
That could be, and stay tuned. I do have a topic coming up in a couple of weeks. Again, we'll have our in-house guest host, Heather. It was a topic about her idea. Stay tuned, check the boards, and, we'll be announced. But we'll be back again next Saturday. Have a safe Independence Day.
And enjoy yourself.
And enjoy yourself.
And go to McDonald's.
Go to McDonald's. Support McDonald's.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.